I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
Rip his heart out, I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm there.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Oh, yeah, and we the funniest, too, up in this mother frizzle. You already know, going down in the side for the 2020. It ain't the 19 no more. It's the 2020, and the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. We dive for the 2020 going down season 5 episode 3. All 3 of y'all, you heard me? You finished or you done? All 3 of y'all, you heard me? Going down in the south, you feel me? So, got a lot to talk about, got a lot to get to. This is going to be fun. Put your seatbelt on. Put your helmet on, put your mouthpiece in, because it's really going down. You heard me? Had some exciting things happen over this sports weekend that we got to get to. But first, you know, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog series, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at www.ontheshouldersone.com, the On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on Patreon at www.patreon.com/OTSOG, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as you can have On the Shoulders of Giants come directly to you and do face-to-face classes, educational sessions, keynote speaking sessions, Black History sessions, whatever you need from On the Shoulders of Giants, whether it's face-to-face or digital. Because remember, the information can be used digitally on your computer, on your smartphone, on your smart TV, in the classrooms, on your smart board, on your tablets, whatever you need. All you got to do is visit the website at www.ontheshouldersone.com. That's the number one, ontheshouldersone.com. Or www.ontheshoulders.org. Get it how you live. African history at your fingertips and on the go. The stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. Hey, and make sure you support The Fix on Patreon. Support The Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/TheFix, T-H-E-F-I-X, The Fix on Patreon. Holler at your boy. Support your homeboy so we can make this thing bigger, blacker, funnier, and better. You heard me? So, what's going down today, Joseph? Hey, Joseph. Hey, Joseph, what's going down today on the Fix Sports Podcast, cool? Let me tell you what is going down, Jimmy Lee, because I sure want to know about what's going down on the Fix Sports Podcast today now. Hey, I'm Jimmy Lee Jones, and I really like sports, and I want to know what you got to talk about there on that sport today, boy. I don't throw down that sport today, boy. All right, so Jimmy Lee, sit back. Let me go ahead and get you right. So, that HBCU spotlight, we got two of them spotlights there, you know, Tama. So, Alabama State once again sweeps the indoor track championships. We'll talk about that. And Howard swim and dive team breaks 4 school records in one day. That's cool. Then we're going to get into the winner of the Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder fight that happened this past weekend. So we're going to get into it. Talk about Dak Prescott. Contract talks. We're going to talk about NFL free agency. We're going to talk about the NBA standings. where they are now after the All-Star break. Talk about some NCAA basketball standings. Since we're getting to the end of February into March Madness, it's time to start paying attention to college basketball. Week three of the XFL happened. So I'm recording this podcast a bit earlier, so I'm not going to have all the scores of week three, but I do got a couple scores of week three of the of XFL. What else am I getting into? What else? Oh, yeah, a former Cleveland Browns offensive lineman named Greg Robinson was arrested by Border Control for alleged possession of large amounts of marijuana. And my weekly rant, my rant going to go at Boosie, Lil Boosie in the Dwayne Wade situation with Dwayne Wade's transgender daughter, Zaya. And I'm a give you my full perspective in that, but I got to give Boosie the rant and everybody else who got a problem with Dwayne Wade supporting his child. But I'm going to give it to you in the perspective, in a real perspective, in a real nigga perspective. I'm going to give it to you. But Boosie and everybody else, you got to get this rant. And it's going to be educational, but you got to get this rant. You've got to. Because y'all tripping. But before we go in and get to all that now, you hear that twang in my voice, that now, Shay, you know when you hear that twang in that voice, you already know what time it is, man. That HBCU. HBCU spotlight, that's yeah. So Alabama State sweeps the SWAC Indoor Track Championship again. So Alabama State swept the Southwestern Athletic Conference Indoor Track and Field Championships Friday, repeating the fourth consecutive year with both teams winning championships. Both years in a row. The men became the first school since 1976 to win four consecutive titles using performances from SWAC Field Performer of the Year Marcus Cade and Track Performer of the Year Abdi Hussein to win the event with 171.5 points to pull away from Prairie View A&M in second with 139 and Jackson State in third with 122 points. The duo combined for 49 points in the championship. Meanwhile, the Lady Hornets claimed their 12th consecutive championship, goddamn, the 16th championship since 2002. Goddamn, what they got going on over there at Alabama State? Let me read that again. Meanwhile, the Lady Hornets claimed their 12th consecutive championship and 16th championship since 2002 with their performance this week. Alabama State finished the meet with 185.3 points to easily outdistance themselves from Prairie View A&M, who finished with 146 points, and that's the men and the women. God damn. That's what's up. And so they got a tweet with Alabama State's men's most outstanding track performer and men's most outstanding field performer. God damn. And it says state of mind. That's hashtag. That's pretty cool because Alabama state of mind. I'm talking about that's pretty cool. So Alabama State had several student athletes reach the podium on Friday. Led Norris Spike in the 60-meter dash, who won the championship with a time of 60.71 seconds. He defeated his teammate Dave East, you know what I'm talking about, who finished second with a time of 6.76 seconds. East went on to finish third in the 200 meters with a time of 21.63 seconds, while Spike was fifth in the event with 21.75. Hussein captured the 1 mile championship in a time of 4 minutes, 20 seconds, and 51 other seconds, and finished the second in the 5,000 meters with a time of 15:27.93. He was joined in the 5,000 meters by Matthew Kibbit, who finished fifth overall with a time of 15:49.89. Cameron Lamb finished fourth in the 400-meter finals with a time of 48:59. While the trio of Hornets, Ricky Thornton, Brandon Phillips, and Kevin Smith finished fourth through sixth, respectively. The field events, Kate finished fourth in the triple jump with a distance of 14.25, while Caesar Kemp reached the medal stand for the second time this week as he finished second in the weight throw with a distance of 17.07 meters. Meanwhile, Chaka Trahan finished third in the heptathlon to close out the week. The Hornets also finished third in the 4x400-meter relay to close out the event. Meanwhile, the women's side, Charminiq, make her name spelled C-H-A-R-M-I-N-I-Q-U, So her name gonna be Charminiq today. Charminiq Hackney and Shamiria Lovett won championships, with Hackney winning the 60-meter dash in a time of 7.554 seconds. She was joined by Kiana Evans, Nia Jack, and Lovett in the finals, while Lovett won the 60-meter hurdles with a time of 8.43. Michaela Lewis captured her first championship with 800 meters with a time of 2 minutes, 14 seconds, and 78 other seconds, edging out teammate Ariane Spain, who finished second with a time of 2:14.90, while Vinelle Grant in third with a time of 2:14.97. Shayla Sanders also captured her first championship, winning the 1 mile in a time of 5:13.36. She was followed by Hannah Mezidor in fourth with a time of 5:21.26. Sanders also finished fourth in 5,000 meters with a time of 19:18.41. Hackney finished second in 200 meters with a time of 23:87, finishing ahead of Evans in fourth place with a time of 24:68 seconds, and Amari Newsom in sixth with a time of 25.22. Meanwhile, Evans finished third, and Newcomb finished fifth with a time in the 400 meters, In the field, Letitia Locker recorded a pair of top five finishes in the high jump and pole vault, and Kristen Thompson finished fourth in the shot put with the crossplex record at the time of 13.66 meters. The Lady Hornets finished second in the 4x400 meters to close out the event. So Alabama State said, fuck it, fuck what everybody else doing. We out here, we dropping our necks and our clitorises on everybody's faces, whether it's track or field. If you in the way, you finna get blazed with the sign of this. Hey, man, same Johnny Blaze, ain't a damn thing changed, because when the Hornets come through, they going to sting Alabama State. They the Hornets. Are they the Hornets? I don't remember their mascot. I'm just calling them the Hornets. Yep, they the Hornets. They was gonna be Hornets today, goddammit. Buzz sting in your motherfucking eye. Buzz in your motherfucking eye, in your motherfucking eye. Buzz sting in your eye. Sting buzz in your eye, bitch. Track and field champion, man, y'all put y'all hands together for that Alabama State track and field team for dropping the nothing good of this on people's faces, you heard me? Buzz sting. Sting buzz. Buzz, sing, sing, buzz, sing, sing, buzz. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. Every time I'm on track and field, you keep talking about you beating me. Hey, babe, oh, you're losing, blows my mind. Alabama State be dominant, and all y'all just be falling behind. I had my share of love, but some say I'm damn good. But if you think about that track and field, Alabama State wish that you would, cause you keep all you keep it all. You just keep losing in this and losing in that. They say once you lost, once you never come back. Alabama has a lesson that you wanna teach. Here I am, baby. Come and win with me. Oh, Alabama State, I ain't for all that winning. So, yeah. One time for Alabama State. Track and field. HBC is spotlight. Sight, we got another point. We got another thing in that HBCU spotlight. We ain't done yet. So Howard swimming dive teams break records. They break 4 school records in 1 day. See, I thought I was finished. I teach it that stuff. So Howard University men's and women's swimming and diving teams opened the 2020 Coastal Collegiate Sports Association. Right, because Howard is not, like I told you last week, Howard is no longer in the MEAC. They're in the CCSA, the Coastal Collegiate Sports Association. And their championship's breaking 4 school records on day 1. The 4 fall in March consist of 3 relay records and 1 individual milestone. Freshman Tilez Fulux left his mark on the men's 100 individual meter time trials, taking down the school record previously held by teammate John Bendana with 53.29 time. Joined fellow classmate Miles Simon and Arian Solomon, a third-year swimmer Keegan Ford, in crushing the men's 200 medley relay mark, producing a 132.01 time. Simon and Solomon teamed up with junior William Speakman Smith II and newcomer Luke Kennedy Thompson. These boys got all these names. And the men's 800 free relay, where they shattered the previous school's milestones by more than 4 seconds, clocking in at 6:53.82. On the women's side, sophomore Asia Evans and India Jackson and freshman Courtney Connolly and Brianna Time. They spell her Brianna. Brianna. B-R-E-Y-A-H-N-A. Yeah, Brianna Time broke the 200 medley relay program record with a 146.50 mark. Other notable performance on day 1 included junior Jalen Watson advancing to the men's 100-meter finals, where he placed 8th overall, scoring 11 points with 169.25 mark. After day 1, HU men sit 5th with 63 points, whereas Bison women are 6th place, tallying 102 points. The action continued Thursday, February 20th. So, one time for them Howards breaking all the marks for school records and 1 individual record. To Les folks, I'm talking about one time for you. John Bendana, Miles Simon, Arian Simon, Keegan Ford, you heard? William Speakman Smith II, Luke Kennedy Thompson, Asia Evans, India Jackson, Courtney Connolly, Brianna Time, you heard me, Jalen Watson, you heard me. One time for all of y'all on that Howard Bison swimming and diving, breaking them school records, coming on in, being a friend, and ain't doing nothing reckless, cause you're out here winning. Splashing, so y'all put y'all hands together for the Howard Bison swimming and diving. Swimming and diving, swimming and diving. Swimming and diving, swimming and diving. Last day swim, you say dive. Swim, 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 swimming and dive. That's what's up, man. Howard swimming and diving coming in, doing their thing, especially in the new conference in the Coastal Collegiate Sports Association. And here breaking it down because they left the MEAC. And, you know, A&T done left the MEAC too. And people looking at failure to leave the MEAC. So that there now. So HBCU spot like that, yeah. HBCU, 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 HBCU Spotlight. There it is, man. The HBCU Spotlight. That shot. HBCU Spotlight. All right, so somebody got fed up in the boxing match. Somebody got fed up in this Saturday boxing match. Somebody got fed up. All right, so Saturday night it went down. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, second fight, and it wasn't even close. If you haven't seen it, haven't heard, you're getting it here on the Fix Sports Podcast, but I'm breaking it down because Wilder got his ass whooped. Now, I picked Wilder only because it was Black History Month. I didn't have any faith in Wilder against Fury the second time because I thought Fury did a pretty good job against Wilder the first time. Actually, Fury was winning the fight until Wilder got the knockdowns to get the draw. But in this one, it wasn't even close. And when I say it wasn't close, trust me, it wasn't close at all. Fury pretty much dominated the whole fight. Wilder had the bounce in him for a round and a half. Wilder had bounce in him. But Fury was landing them things because Wilder hit Fury with a couple right hands in the beginning, early in the fight, and Fury ate them shits. And so, you know, Wilder trusting in his right hand, he should trust in his right hand. His right hand hasn't let him down. But my thing has always been with Wilder, what happens when the right hand don't come through for you and you really need that right hand to come through for you? And last night, or Saturday night, that right hand didn't come through for you. Wilder had like a knot on the side of his head, like the lady that worked with me who hit her head on the door had one of the boxing knots on the side of her head. Like, Fury dominated the fight. Wilder didn't win one round. Fury got two knockdowns. Wilder hit the canvas about five times because Wilder's legs were wobbly pretty much the whole fight. After the second half of the second round, Wilder's legs were like, he was like loose legs, like DC Young Fly loose legs the whole fight, just like he was a newborn baby. He didn't have his feet. At all, he didn't have his legs, the strength of his legs, so therefore, without the strength of his legs, his right hand wasn't going to really come and bomb. Even though you still have to be accountable, you still have to take account for that right hand. You can't just be like, lie, 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 that right hand ain't there, because Wilder's right hand is always there. But I've always said, me and Patrick always talked about Wilder not being a good boxer, and this is the fight where Wilder not being a good boxer came back to haunt his ass, because Tyson Fury out boxed his ass. Now, one of the things in the beginning of the fight, or the first half of the fight, that was fucking frustrating me until I really sat down and thought about it, is Fury could have ended this fight earlier if he would have kept throwing them combos and just setting them up and hitting them with them combos and letting them loose. But one thing Fury was doing was coming in. He was leaning on Wilder a lot because both men came into the fight heavier than what they did the last fight. I think Wilder put on like 21 pounds. Fury could put on like 30 pounds, whatever. But they both were heavier in this fight than last fight. So Fury had like a 43-pound advantage over Wilder. And Fury was catching Wilder ass like the whole time. So the fight was stopped in the seventh round. It was a technical knockout. They stopped the fight in the seventh round. I didn't, at that point, when I see the ref start the fight, I didn't think at that point they could have let it go on a bit more, but for safety reasons, because it wasn't like Wilder was really out there defending himself, like really defending himself. Time to time, he would throw something here and throw something there, but Wilder really didn't have nothing on them damn punches he was throwing, and he could have gotten hurt a lot more than what what he was. He was bleeding from his mouth. He was bleeding from his left ear. Like I said, he had that huge knot on the side of his left head. He was in there just getting punished, man. Just getting punished and leaned on and punished and leaned on and punished and leaned on. Like Wilder was, it's the sixth round, and Wilder is in there exhausted. Seventh round, Wilder is exhausted, like Fury punishing his ass. Just blam, left hand, blam, right hand, blam, left hand, blam, right hand, blam, left hand, blam, right hand, leaning on his ass. And leaning on him. And Wilder couldn't do nothing. Wilder was trying to come back, catch him with that right hand whenever he needed to. But, man, look at here. It was that fight where if you're a Wilder fan, you were like, no, damn. They finally got his ass. He finally got his ass. So that's that. The manner in which Wilder lost was surprising, to be honest. I didn't believe Wilder would win this fight. I didn't believe, but I also didn't expect Wilder to get his ass whooped like this. I mean, this is totally different from the first fight. Like, totally different fight. This is a totally different fight. If you saw this fight, you'll be like, damn, dog. Like, these motherfuckers fought before, and they thought this shit would have been cool, because the way Fury dominated the fight, man. Like, Wilder couldn't really get nothing off. Wilder couldn't really catch him with too many things. At one point, looked like Fury, toward the end of the fight, Fury had clenched him, and like he was sticking his tongue out, looking like he wanted to lick him and stuff. Kind of like taunting him and embarrassing him, talking shit in his ear. Just looked like he was just licking on the man's neck. And they were just like, wow, man, like, that was crazy, man. Like, that was the manner in which Wilder got his ass whooped was undeniably crazy, man. He was dominated. He was totally outclassed, totally outboxed, totally outstrategized, totally dominated. His conditioning seemed like it was trash. I don't really think his conditioning was ever really great, but his conditioning was trash, you could tell. I don't know, maybe he spent more time talking shit about the fight than actually getting ready for the fight, because he got fucking dominated in this match. I'm talking about totally ran through in this match. Like, scorecards, I'm looking at the scorecards. Fury got every round. Fury won every round. First round, 10-9 Fury. Second round, 10-9 Fury. Third round, 10-8 Fury. Fourth round, 10-9 Fury. Fifth round, 10-8 Fury. Fifth round, 10-8 Fury. Sixth round, 10-9 Fury. And the sixth round, 10-9, because they had the referee, gave him a point, gave Wilder a point. And then the seventh round was the TKO. And now Fury got Wilder belt. So I'm guessing now, so I'm looking at this. This says boxing on BT Sport. It says a tweet about Fury. It says WBA, WBC, WBO, IBO, IBF, ring, lineal. They got championship. It says Tyson Fury is the first boxer in history to win every major title in the heavyweight division at some point in his career. So basically they're saying at some point Tyson Fury has held every belt. So now, because I'm looking at this tweet from DAZN USA, and it's a Joshua Fury. We got to have Joshua Fury. At first, we thought we was going to have to get Joshua Wilder, but we got to get Joshua Fury. I'm guessing I'm guessing we either go straight to Joshua Fury, or we have Joshua and Wilder fight, and then we have a Joshua Fury. But we got to get to the Joshua Fury fight. The heavyweight needs it. But the Bronze Bomber got bombed on, and it was ridiculous. So now Deontay Wilder's record is 42-1-1 with 41 knockouts, and Tyson Fury's record is 30-0-1 with 23 knockouts. Hey, man. And so Fury is saying the king has returned, because he calls himself the Gypsy King. The king has returned, Fury said in front of his crowd. I just want to say a big shout-out to Deontay Wilder. He came here tonight. He manned up, and he showed the heart of a champion. He's a warrior. He'll be back, and he will be championship, and he will be a champion again. I mean, Wilder did show a lot of heart. Not going to lie, Wilder did show a lot of heart, but Wilder, not a lot of tact and skill in this fight. Not a lot of tact and skill. I believe that's really what got his ass whooped. Not being able to land that right hand. When you can't, I always say, what happens when Wilder can't land that right hand? And we see, we just found out when Wilder can't land that right hand, Wilder is a sitting duck. And he can't land that right hand. They need to teach that man how to box. He's a fighter, not a boxer. They need to teach that man how to box. Joshua Fury coming up. Joshua Wilder. Joshua Fury, either way. Somebody put him in. Somebody put a tweet. Somebody posted a tweet, DAZN USA, of Joshua Fury in the fight, in the ring. That'd be a better one, because Joshua actually knows how to box. Even though Joshua did let Ruiz kick his ass. But that's it, man, though. Wilder got it. Ooh. And I'm not happy that Wilder lost during Black History Month, though. Wilder was supposed to win because it's Black History Month. Not because he was better, but because it was Black History Month. So, on the Black History Month angle, come on, Deontay. But other than that, kind of figured that. So, you know. So, Dak Prescott. Will Dak Prescott get the contract extension that he's looking for? Will he get it? Won't he do it? So, Dak Prescott looking for that $35 million a year. Dak, like, man, I got to pay me. He coming to the last year of his contract. The Dallas Cowboys have been talking for the last year about paying Dak. They haven't paid him yet, paid everybody else. Free agency is coming up, which I'm going to talk about next. And we're trying to see what's going to happen. So it might not be ideal for the purpose of contract negotiations, but Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has made it clear of late that he's all in on quarterback Dak Prescott. We'll see. Jones told Michael Irvin on the Rich Eisen show that he was sold on the 25-year-old sitting caller, as Jones said earlier this offseason that he picked Prescott over any quarterback in the 2019 draft. But because of the next man up dynamics associated with quarterback contracts of late, Prescott is likely to command an astronomically valuable deal when or before his rookie contract expires in 2020, which he on the last part of his contract. In fact, Clarence E. Hill Jr. of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported last week that Prescott's agent told France, Todd France has broached a deal in the range of $34 million annually. In terms of average salary, that made Prescott one of three of the four highest paid players in the NFL history. But there are plenty of reasons to wonder if he's worth that to a team that will soon also have to make decisions on key players like Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Jalen Smith, Byron Jones, and is already on the hook for DeMarcus Lawrence. It's 21 per year, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, and Travis Frederick. So it's a lot of money that need to go around, but Cowboys ain't got all that money, but a lot of people want that money, right? The latter three names on the list are blue-chip offensive linemen and two offensive players who will soon be looking for new deals, are Prescott's top two weapons. And their presence as Prescott supporting cast is precisely why it's fair to wonder just how good the 2016 fourth round pick really is. Prescott performed remarkably well throughout his 2016 offensive rookie year, but he was also a surprise starter who snuck up on opposing defenses. Most importantly, he was surrounded by Elliott, Cooper, and predecessor Dez Bryant, Martin Smith, and Frederick, all of whom were Pro Bowlers that season. Prescott lost the element of surprise as a sophomore. He also lost Elliott to a six-game midseason suspension, and Smith dealt with injuries at left tackle. And sure enough, the Mississippi State product came back to earth with a sub-median passer rating of 86.6. This is all according to Bleacher Report. His numbers plummeted across the board in 2017, and while they rebounded a tad despite the absence of Frederick in 2018, Prescott still has been able to live up to the hype he generated in his highest-rated rookie passer in NFL history. But Dak Prescott did put up good numbers in his 2019 season, even though Dallas didn't have a good 2019 season. The question particularly as Frederick returns to health after missing a season with Jillian Bear syndrome, it's whether any decent young quarterback can experience success in the Dallas offense. And if Prescott is only decent, might the Cowboys be better off pursuing someone who could be more than decent at a lower cost? Prescott was a fourth round pick for a reason. And while he's overcome pre-draft concerns about his footwork, his accuracy, and his overall technique, he's also made a living playing it safe as a passer. He's thrown just 25 interceptions in 48 career regular season starts, but he hasn't topped the 23 touchdown passes as he tossed as a rookie. So 23 passes is the most he's ever thrown in his career as a rookie. He hasn't topped that. That's what they're saying. And taking a stance in favor of the blockbuster new deal for Prescott, Pro Football Focus contributing former NFL quarterback Bruce Gradkowski made one particular point in the video Friday that could actually work against that. Dak Prescott just has to do his job, Gradkowski said. Distribute the football to those weapons around you, hand it off to that beast behind you, and let that running game get going. Is a player in that role worth nearly 20% of your team's payroll? It's at least worth a close examination, and it's something the Cowboys would be smart to wait on, because investing in Prescott will inevitably make it harder to invest in Cooper, Elliott, Smith, and Jones, and we just don't know what Prescott will bring to the table with less support on either side of the ball. So that's the thing, man, with Dak Prescott is a lot of people are concerned about his overall performance. Dak Prescott is a good quarterback, but the thing is that the money that Dak wants is top-tier quarterback money. And the question is Dak really worth long-term or moving forward? Is Dak worth that top-tier money? Is he worth that $34, $35 million? I don't know. I don't think he's worth it, but I think Dak and his agents and things have to do what they need to do to finesse that money. Because I'm all in favor for people getting paid, but as a Dallas Cowboy person, as a supporter, as somebody that's up in Cowboy Nation, I want to make sure that we make the best decisions for us long-term moving forward, that we can still have all the pieces of the puzzle together and not just put a lot of money in one pot or the Dak pot. You get it? And then Dak doesn't necessarily turn out to be a franchise quarterback. Dak is a good quarterback, but is that top priority franchise quarterback? And or should Dallas, if you're a person thinking that Dallas should pursue another quarterback, I don't think Dallas should pursue another quarterback at this time. I think Dallas needs to stick to what they have. Let's see what Mike McCarthy brings to the table with that. See if Mike can help that get a bit better. But Dallas is going to have to come to a decision on Dak Prescott's contract and everybody else's contract soon, because free agency is coming up. Free agency is coming up. Dak should be a upcoming free agent after this year. And we have to keep our team together. We went and got Amari. I'm talking about we got Ezekiel Elliott. We got Dak. We need another tight end. We got Randall Cobb, we got Gallup, the other receiver, and we're pretty straight on defense. But we need to put it all together. Dak does need to get paid. Dak needs to get paid, but I don't know about that $34 million. But Dak does need to get paid. So, we're going to see, man. We're definitely going to see what happens with that and move forward, man. You know what I'm talking about? Move forward, because I want to make sure we got all the pieces that we need to the puzzle. We need all of our pieces, but we don't need to make drastic moves, and we need to make sure that people are satisfied as well. Pay people, but don't make no drastic moves. Don't handicap ourselves in the long run so we don't be able to get what we need. So speaking of free agents, so we're talking about the 2020 free agents. And let me give you, this is a list. I'm looking at a list of about 100 free agents, but I'm not going to go through all 100. So I'm going to do like the top 25 on this list, maybe top 30, maybe top 25. So let's start at 30. Number 30, according to CBS Sports, the 30th best free agent this year is Anthony Costanzo, who was a tackle for the Indianapolis Colts. 29 is Hunter Henry, Los Angeles Chargers tight end. 28 is Brian Bulaga, Green Bay Packers tackle. 27 is James Bradberry, the cornerback for Carolina Panthers. Number 26 is Jason Hargrave, Pittsburgh Steelers nose tackle. 25 is Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans running back. Dante Fowler, 24, the defensive end for the Rams. Jack Conklin, Titans tight end. 22 is Joe Thunley, the guard for the Patriots. 21 is Ryan Tannehill, quarterback for the Titans. 20 is Bud Dupree, outside linebacker for the Steelers. 19 is Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback for the Saints. 18 is Eric Armstead, DN for the 49ers. 17 is Yannick Ngakoue. I can't say his name. Yannick for Jacksonville Jaguars. Brandon Sheriff, guard for the Washington Redskins, is 16. Justin Simmons, a free safety for the Broncos, is 15. Corey Littleton, inside linebacker for the Rams, is 14. Anthony Harris, DB for the Vikings, is 13. Byron Jones, cornerback for the Cowboys, come on back. Number 12, Jameis Winston, quarterback for the Bucks, is 11. Jadeveon Clowney is 10, outside linebacker for the Seahawks. Shaquille Barrett, linebacker for the Bucks, is 9. Chris Harris, the Denver Broncos cornerback, is 8. Amari Cooper, Cowboys receiver, is 7. Number 6 is Phillip Rivers, Chargers quarterback. Number 5, A.J. Green, the Bengals wide receiver. Number 4, Tom Brady, Patriots wide quarterback. Number 3, Drew Brees, Saints quarterback. And Drew Brees is back with the Saints. Chris Jones is being in for the Saints, for the Chiefs, and Dak Prescott quarterback for the Cowboys. So I do think that the Patriots should keep Brady and go after A.J. Green. I think if Patriots do that, that can help a lot. Keep Brady, go after A.J. Green in the draft, get you another receiver, get you some more running back help, the offensive line help, receiver help. Now, shore up that offense. But if Brady don't go back to the Patriots, I would foul some out, look at them Titans, depending on what they do with Tannehill and what they do with Derrick Henry, and also the Chargers. Teams who need a quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater out there now. Phillip Rivers out there too now. So that's free agency, NFL free agency, man. Top 30. So let's talk a little NBA. Let's talk a little Nuba. A little NBA. What's going on in the NBA? Let's see. All right, so we're like a week after the All-Star break, and I'm going to give you the standings. From the Eastern Conference, the standings from the Western Conference, and, you know, talk some shit about who I think gonna make it, who I think gonna be the number one team that's gonna make it in the playoffs. So in the Eastern Conference, I'm just through the top eight. The Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks actually have the best record in the league with a 48-8 record. They number one. The Toronto Raptors, no surprise, they're number two with 41-15. The Boston Celtics, number three, 39-16. Number four, the Miami Heat, 36-20. Number five, the Philadelphia 76ers at 35-22, which is disappointing. Number six, the Indiana Pacers at 33-23. The Nets now are without Kyrie and Kevin Durant. They're at 26-29. And the Magic in eighth at 24-32. And I'm not surprised the Raptors are in second place because, I mean, think about the last 5-6 years. The Raptors have always been in the top two or three in the Eastern Conference. Of course, you know, they kept running into LeBron. LeBron left. They got Kawhi. They won the championship. Now this year, they're still second. We're going to see how they deal with Giannis going forward in the playoffs and stuff. But I'm not surprised that Toronto Raptors are where they are. They're a good team. They're a good team. They just couldn't get past LeBron until they got Kawhi last year and they got past LeBron. So the Lakers have the second best record in the league at 42-12. They're number one in the West. The Denver Nuggets are number two in the West at 38-18. The Clippers are number three at 37-19. The Rockets are number four, 36-20. Jazz at number five, 36-20. The Thunder at number six at 34-22. Mavericks at 7, 34-28. And the Grizzlies are at 8 at 28-28. So that's the top standings of the NBA. So let me see. Saturday's games, we had the Kings and the Clippers. The Clippers lost to the Kings 112-103. The Nets beat the Hornets 115-86. The Hawks beat the Mavericks 111-107. The Suns beat the Bulls 112-104. The Cavs actually lost to the Heat 124-105. The Bucks beat the 76ers 119-98. And the Rockets beat the Jazz 120-110. So that's what's going on in the NBA. In the NBA, in the NBA, all right, real quick, the NCAA basketball top 25. Let's go from the bottom to the top. 25 is Ohio State. 24 is Arizona. 23 is BYU. 22 is Houston. 21 is Butler. 20 is Iowa, 19 is Marquette, 18 is Colorado, 17 is West Virginia, 16 is Seton Hall, 15 is Creighton, 14 is Oregon, 13 is Auburn, 12 is Villanova, 11 is Louisville, 10 is Kentucky, 9 is Penn State, 8 Florida State, Maryland is 7, Duke is 6, Dayton is 5, San Diego State is 4, Kansas at 3, Gonzaga at 2, and Baylor at number 1. So those are the rankings right now in NCAA men's basketball. And who do we have play? So Saturday we had Providence beat Marquette 84-72. Kansas beat number one Baylor 64-61. Auburn beat Tennessee 73-66. Houston, number 22, Houston lost to Memphis 60-59. Number 17, West Virginia lost to TCU 67-60. Number 5, Dayton beat DeQuince 80-70. Number 12, Villanova beat Xavier 64-55. Number 11, Louisville beat North Carolina 72-55. UCLA beat number 18, Colorado 70-63. Florida State beat NC State 67-61. Kentucky, who's number 10, beat Florida 65-59. UNLV beat number 4, San Diego State 66-63. Duke beat Virginia Tech 88-64. Oregon beat number 14, Oregon beat number 24, Arizona 73-72. And BYU, number 23, BYU actually beat number two ranked Gonzaga 91-78. So that's one thing about college basketball. You never know. You never know what's going on, who's going to lose. So XFL is in week three. Week three of the XFL, and we had the Houston Roughnecks versus the Tampa Bay Vipers, and the Dallas Renegades versus the Seattle Dragons. And the Houston Roughnecks actually beat, which was a good game. That Roughnecks Vipers game was a good game. The XFL is good football. Just let everybody know XFL is good football. That Roughnecks and Vipers game was a good game, but the Roughnecks came out with the victory 34-27 over the Tampa Bay Vipers. And the Dallas Renegades got the 24-12 victory over the Seattle Dragons. And the Seattle, their fan base is nice. Their fan base is there, man. So this was a fun game in the first half, but the Renegades pulled away. In the second half, the Dragons led at halftime 12-6, but continued to struggle on offense and were unable to score any more points. Meanwhile, Dallas just kept scoring with 18 unanswered points. Quarterback Landry Jones was relied on heavily, finishing 30 of 47, 247 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also had 2 interceptions, which is why the game was so close at the beginning. Running back Lance Dunbar played a huge role, catching 9 of 11 targets for 56 yards. Tight end Donald Parham also had a huge game, finishing 5 catches, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns on 7 targets. Running back Cameron Artis Payne had 110 scrimmage yards. As for Seattle quarterback Brandon Silvers, finished 21-34 for 24 yards, 2 touchdowns. Let's get to the game. Talk about PJ, the boy PJ. His name PJ Smith, PJ Jones, for the other team. I'm looking for the names. Yeah, P.J. Walker. P.J. Walker for the Houston Roughnecks. They were once again led by the incredible QB wide receiver duo of P.J. Walker and Cam Phillips. P.J. Walker, the quarterback. P.J. Walker is a baller. And Houston Roughnecks, like I said, got 34-27 victory. So Phillips finished with a ridiculous 8 catches for 194 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's 10 targets. As nine scored 6 touchdowns in the last 2 games, P.J. Walker went 24 for 36, 306 yards with 3 touchdowns, 34 rushing yards, 1 rushing touchdown, no turnover. So, balling, man. If you ain't watched the XFL yet, you need to watch the XFL. It's damn good football, if I say so myself. As somebody who would be very critical of it, it's very good football. It's not the NFL, but it's good football. You heard me? It shows some good football, yeah. It's sure something that you got to watch, yeah. So my pre-rant warm-up. Greg Robinson, a former Washington Redskins player, played with the Colts as well. Former offensive lineman Greg Robinson, he got caught by Border Patrol with 157 pounds of marijuana. So former NFL tackle Greg Robinson and wide receiver Quan Bray. Oh, they ain't want to talk about Quan because Quan ain't popular. Quan Bray, who last played with the Indianapolis Colts, were arrested at the Sierra Blanca border checkpoint near the United States and Mexico border this week, according to an official statement from the Department of Justice and the Western District of Texas. The statement provided by ESPN's Adam Schefter alleged that Robinson, the former number 2 overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft, and Bray, a former undrafted free agent, were in possession of 157 pounds of marijuana, which was stored inside several large duffel bags in the rear cargo area of a vehicle they were driving. TMC was first to report this story on Wednesday evening. According to the federal criminal complaint, on Monday evening, the defendants approached the Sierra Blanca checkpoint station where a U.S. Border Patrol K-9 unit alerted on their vehicle. A subsequent inspection revealed the presence of approximately 157 pounds of marijuana. Both were charged with conspiracy to possess and intent to distribute marijuana and possession with intent to distribute marijuana. United States Customs and Border Protection has since released a photo from the bus showing the back of Robinson's rented out Chevy Tahoe. The 157 pounds of marijuana was placed in large duffel bags and stored in the back of the SUV. Yeah. They ain't even really try to hide this shit real good. This wasn't that smart. The 27-year-old Robinson is set to become an unrestricted free agent this season after spending the past two seasons with the Cleveland Browns. According to Tom Flesario of the NFL Network, the Browns had no intentions of re-signing Robinson, so his next step in the NFL is a bit uncertain. Robinson entered the league as the number two overall pick of the St. Louis Rams after a stellar all-SEC career at Auburn. So, god damn, bro. 157 pounds of marijuana. Yuen Quan Bray got caught with 157 pounds of weed at the Mexico-United States border in duffel bags. Bulky-ass duffel bags stuffed in the back of your SUV. I guess they wasn't expecting to get stopped and checked. I don't know. I haven't traveled internationally yet, so I haven't crossed that Mexico border like that there, Chef. But that just don't sound smart to me, that Chef, but what they were doing in the picture. If you look at the picture, like, them big-ass duffel bags back there. And so I was wondering, like, first thing when they're talking about the dogs, like, what were they doing to kind of conceal the smell? Probably nothing if that was in them big-ass duffel bags. I guess they just felt like they were just going to get through. Maybe they've done it before. Maybe they've done it several times. I don't know. But this is not smart, especially at the time where weed is becoming legal. Just wait. So they're selling – they finna go sell weed even though Buddy's still in the league. Y'all got to get y'all life together. Maybe y'all listen to the wrong rap songs or something. I don't know. But y'all got to get y'all life together because that's stupid. That's very stupid to get caught like that or to be trying to sell weed or trafficking weed in 157 pounds. I'm just saying, man, you know, let me get some of that weed shit for the low. Is that good, good? Got that good Mexico? That Andale, mommy, we're smoking the nine. That's what they had. That's what you had. That Andale, mommy, get your head right and nail it to end night. Andale, Rika. I guess that's what Buddy thought he was going to be doing, slanging that marijuana, Hey, man, I think Buddy, Robinson and Quan, stupid. What you think, Kawhi? Yeah, that shit's stupid, don't it? Hey, when the Border Patrol saw them boys coming and opened up that trunk, they just started laughing. That's all they did. They just everybody on the ground holding themselves. Just culture. We got y'all, boy. We got y'all at culture. Where you thought you were going? Not for real, though. Where y'all thought y'all was going? Like I said, maybe they've done it before, and they was like, "Hey, man, let's do this shit again. It's routine." But routine ran out today, so I don't know what you're gonna do. I came to clap my hands. I came to sell some weed. But Robinson and Bray, y'all need to pray, cause that wasn't that smart. The concealment of it wasn't that smart. Two big, bulky-ass duffel bags in the back of a Chevy Tahoe. Yeah. Yeah. Going through Border Patrol. Yeah. Photoville, U.S. Customs and Border Protection from the Greg Robinson bus showing the duffel bags on 157 pounds of marijuana found in the back of a rented Chevy Tahoe. Yeah, buddy, that wasn't the smartest thing to do. That was not the smartest thing to do. But it's time for my weekly rant. And it's aimed at Lil Boosie and everybody else who got a problem with Dwayne Wade supporting his child who is transgender. Now let me set this straight. Lil Boosie is entitled to his opinion. So those of you who have a problem with Lil Boosie having his opinion, go to hell. Lil Boosie is entitled to express his opinion. So those of you who have a problem with Lil Boosie expressing his opinion, go to hell. Now, Lil Boosie's opinion is not welcome and wanted and needed, and it don't help. So therefore, his opinion can go to hell. Now, he's entitled to say what the fuck he want to say. You can't tell that man he can't say what he don't want to say. Because now America ain't a free country, and it's not, and we don't have the, you're trying to stifle my constitutional First Amendment right to have the freedom of speech. Lil Boosie has the freedom of speech. He can say what the fuck he want to say. Now, that don't mean his opinion is welcome. His opinion can go straight to hell, but it's welcome. I mean, now my bad. His opinion doesn't have to be welcome, but he can express his opinion. He can say what he want to say. He can feel how he want to feel. He don't have to agree with Dwayne Wade. He doesn't have to. But we can tell Boosie to shut the fuck up and go to hell as well, because Lil Boosie's criticism of Dwayne Wade's support of Zaya can also be criticized, and that's where we are now. Now, a lot of people are calling Boosie transphobic. I don't like the term transphobic, homophobic, and all those things. Those terms are fuck shit to me. They bullshit to me. Those are not real terms. They really describe what's really going on, because you can't say somebody is phobic, has a phobia of something, because they don't like it. Because they may not agree with it doesn't mean that person has a phobia of it. So if I don't like, so am I macaroni and cheese phobic? Am I pasta phobic since I don't like pasta? Am I pasta phobic? Now, let me get to it. So, Lil Boosie's rant was also erroneous, because Dwayne Wade did not say, or nobody said that they was cutting Zaya's dick off. That wasn't the conversation. Dwayne Wade basically was like, Dwayne Wade was like, Zaya came to them, sat down, say Zaya did her research, and said she had these feelings of being a woman since 3 years old. Say she knew what she was since three, nor sexuality, nor identity since 3 years old. And at 12, this is her wanting to express that. Now, do I believe that Zaya had a full understanding of feelings and thoughts and processes of identity and sexuality, identity and sexual orientation at 3 years old? Hell no, I don't believe that shit. Now, I do believe that Dwayne Wade, I'm not mad at Dwayne Wade for saying it to support the child, but hell no, I don't believe goddamn Zaya had a fucking goddamn idea and concept of what it is to like boys and to identify as a woman at 3 years old. No. Not saying Zaya didn't like boys. Not saying Zaya wasn't attracted to boys. But where's the understanding of it? Don't think Zaya had the understanding of it. Don't disagree that Zaya had the attraction. Understand the attraction? No. Even at 12, I still don't believe Zaya fully understands the attraction and the orientation and everything that goes into it. I don't think Zaya really understands dick in mouth, which is a component, and dick in butt, which is a component. Not saying it's the full component, but it is a component that has to be considered, because sex is a part of it. Having sex is a part of romantic relationships and things moving forward, if Zaya chooses to get into a romantic relationship. Now, Dwayne Wade was saying that Zaya was saying that she's not gay because she identifies as a woman, as a trans woman. Yeah, whatever. Zaya is a biological man who's a gay male who also identifies as a woman. But Zaya is a gay male. But Zaya identifies as a woman. It's no problem with that. That ain't no issue. That ain't no issue. So, Those are my feelings, because there's a lot of things that's in there. And, you know, they say you all these labels and all these things that have been created to make people feel good. Now, whatever. And now, in that, you can disagree. And what I'm doing now is disagreeing with some aspects of it. But I don't give a shit enough to have a fucking problem with it. And that's the whole point of this rant aimed at Boosie and everybody else who act like Dwayne Wade and his son is furthering the gay agenda. It's bullshit. That's bullshit. Ain't nobody furthering no agenda. Dwayne Wade is supporting his child. Now, we don't know where Zaya got the ideas and the concepts of being a transsexual or being a transgender or being gay or being a woman. We don't know where Zaya got the ideas and concepts. Zaya said she did her research and all those things. We don't know initially as a 2-3-0, 1-2-3-0, where the initial concepts and ideas come from. We don't know. All I know is if I was in Dwayne Wade's shoes, I would support the hell out of my child. And anybody got a problem with it, you can catch these motherfucking hands. That's what I would be with it. I support Dwayne Wade supporting his child. I support Dwayne Wade supporting child. Zaya, for some of you who believe you can pray it away, you a fucking idiot. Those of you who believe you can beat it out of somebody, you a fucking idiot. Like I was listening to the Ricky Smiley show, and they were saying, well, at 12, you know, I would try to tell you that go to school and do these things and concentrate on. You've been a 12-year-old. You've been a 12-year-old. You know sex. You know the ideas about hormones and all those things. You can't tell somebody that they can't have these ideas and feelings. And you think just say, well, you can't have this. They're just gonna go away. Zaya's ideas and feelings about who she is and sexual orientation are not gonna go away because you disapprove. They're not gonna go away because you say, well, you're 12 years old. And you shouldn't be thinking like this at this age. Motherfucker, at 12 years old, I was trying to raw dog, motherfucker. I was trying to raw dog girls at 12 years old. I'm talking about dick and pussy raw, balls deep at 12. I was. You can't tell Zaya what feelings she can and she can't have, whether you agree or not. I don't agree with all the concepts and everything, the little labels and all the little categories and shit. Minute stuff that I don't agree with. But that's just me because I be looking at details and stuff. But overall, man, I support Zaya. And I'd be the one, you run up on Zaya if you want to, I'd knock your motherfucking ass out. Dwayne Wade is supposed to support his child. He's supposed to support his child. The people like Lil Boosie and all them, man, y'all shut the fuck up. Even though you are entitled to your opinion, I'm not saying you can't have your opinion, but I am saying your opinion is trash and you can shove it up your ass. I am saying that. Let that man do what he want to do with his child, man. You don't have to agree to it. It's not ruining your child's life, especially Boosie. Especially you don't want to talk about buying a prostitute, buying grown women to give your goddamn 12-year-old, 12-14-year-old a blowjob. What the fuck is wrong with you? You ain't the goddamn pedophilia and shit. What the fuck? You support that shit. Boots, what the fuck is you talking about? You shut the fuck up. And everybody else who got a problem with Dwayne Wade supporting his child, y'all shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck. Why is it so important for especially the black conscious community? Why is it so important for us to act like the concepts of homosexuality just can't exist in black America? We all know, anybody who's anywhere who's been paying attention, we all know black male masculinity is under attack by white supremacy. We all know that. But everything isn't a fucking attack on black male masculinity. Everything isn't. Dwayne Wade supporting his child is not an attack on black male masculinity. Zaya deciding to be a trans woman is not an attack on the overall black male masculinity. That's only attack on or dismantling of Zaya's own personal black masculinity. That's it. That's it. It's Zaya's business. It doesn't affect anybody else. It's just Zaya's business. And Dwayne Wade is supposed to support his child. Definitely supposed to support his child. What the fuck do you all want him to do? You're not going to pray it away once again. You're not going to baptize it away. You're not going to take it to the church and they exercise the demons away. You can't beat it out of them. You can't punish the gay away from them. You can't talk the gay out of them. They are who they are. And I hear a lot of people saying, well, yeah, 12, you ain't making the best decision. Nobody's saying that Zaya is making the best or worst decision. But Zaya's made a decision. And Zaya's mind might change. But nobody said anything about cutting Zaya's dick off. Nobody said anything about having surgery. Nobody said anything about gender reassignment, none of those things. Nobody said that. I don't know where the hell Boosie got that from. I don't know where the hell other people got that from. Ain't nobody say nothing about cutting no private parts off. It's an identity thing. Zaya is going to identify as a woman. And you can't stop it. And you'll be a horrible person if you try. You'd be a horrible person if you didn't do nothing but love and support Zaya. You'd be a bitch. And that's all I got to say about that, man. All y'all, man, y'all need to get your heads out of your asses. And if it was me, I teach Zaya how to make sure I reinforce love and support self-love, self-esteem, and everything to Zaya. I make sure Zaya understands the decisions that she's making. And I also understand Zaya know how to whoop y'all motherfucking asses. And I understand, and Zaya know, Zaya be the best roaster ever. Say something to Zaya. If Zaya was my child, say something wrong to Zaya. If you want to, you need to get your ass roasted to get your ass whooped. But what we're not going to do is throw Zaya to the side. That's what the fuck we are not going to do. We're not going to castigate Zaya to the dungeons of hell, society's hell, because Zaya decides that Zaya wants to be a transgender, a trans woman. Fuck you all. Zaya can make decisions that Zaya chooses. And if Zaya wants to change down the line to be a fucking tree, goddammit, we're going to support Zaya. You may not agree with it, and I don't agree with everything in that. I swear I don't. But it ain't that fucking serious. It ain't that fucking serious. It ain't that fucking serious. And that's all I got to say about that. Hey, man, this is the Fix Sports Podcast. I am your host, Joseph Ward. This is Season 5, Episode 3 of the Fix Sports Podcast. Y'all make sure y'all go to patreon.com/thefix and support your homeboy. You can support me monthly for as little as a dollar or as much as you want to. But the content, but the money that you help gonna go into making sure that my podcast is presented to you better and I get better equipment. And can just do anything I want to do, travel more and just expand this podcast more, interview more people, man. I am Joseph Ward. Remember to check out our webpage, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio. Wherever you get your podcast, we there. Spotify, all that shit, we there, man. That's how I go down, man. I am Joseph Ward. I am loving myself and loving everything that's going about me. It's 2020. It's February. Happy Black History Month to everybody. Happy Black History Month. We keep it bigger, blacker, and better. You know how we do it, man. And with that being said, two fingers in the air like a player, because y'all know we just don't care. Because we is up, out, up here. Yeah. Peace.
I am the greatest.
I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston.